Will be tonight. We're going to finish this chapter up. And we're going to try to be as brief as possible so we can spend time in prayer tonight. I do want to go back real quickly and just read the whole chapter. The message tonight, the outline tonight will be brief. So I want to go back and just remind us, Isaiah chapter number 5. We have in Isaiah 5, we have six woes that are mentioned, beginning in verse number 8 down to the end of the chapter, really down until verse 22, where we'll pick up tonight. We have six woes, and then at the end of the chapter, we have the result or the consequence of those woes. But I want to begin in verse 1 tonight and just refresh us and rehearse the messages that we've already looked at so far. That word woe, it means great sorrow or distress. It means a warning. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, we spoke to the subject of what more could he do? What more could he do? And by the way, that would be a great question for us tonight. What more could he do? What more can he do? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 6 that what Jesus Christ has done for us through justification and now through the progressive process of sanctification, what he's done for us through his grace in salvation and what he's doing for us through his grace as we live our daily Christian lives, the Bible says there in Romans 6, he has freed us from sin. Now, I don't believe anybody in here tonight believes, I don't believe in sinless perfection while we're here upon this earth. However, I do believe that a child of God ought to sin less and less and less and less. Because Romans 6 teaches us that. And Romans 6 teaches us that he's given us the power. He's given us the power to be freed from sin. We're freed from sin positionally. We spoke about that Sunday. We stand before God righteous. But every single day, God gives us the grace to be free from sin. Why? Because we're dead. We're dead with him. And so I only say that to say, what more could he do? Look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 5. What more could he have done for the nation of Israel? The Bible says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. He prepared it, he planted it, he protected it. What more could he do? And now, O inhabitants, verse 3 of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I shall lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. He's looking for justice. He's looking for righteousness. He's looking for judgment. Verse number 7 says there, justice. But what did he find? He found oppression. What did he find? He found a cry. People are crying because they are oppressed. And then in verse number 8, we begin the woes. And in verses 8, 9, and 10, we looked at this thought, the root of all evil. What is the root of all evil? What does the Bible say? The love of money, not money, the love of money. Verses 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and one seed of an omer shall yield an ephah, the root of all evil. And we spoke about the definition of great gain. What is the Bible? How does the Bible define great gain? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Absolutely. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The root of all evil. And so we looked at the definition of great gain. Then we looked at the deception of greedy goals. It's not sin to have money, But it is sin. It's the root of all evil to love money. And that's all we live for is money. And then in verse number 11, we saw the next woe. And we asked the question. And we use this question because it's asked over in Proverbs 23. And we'll go back over there in just a moment. But in verse number 11, it says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. The harp and the viol, the tabouret and pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore, there's the word. That's the title of our message tonight, by the way. Therefore, because we're going to find that again down in verse number 24. But he says there in verse number 13, therefore. By the way, what does therefore mean? Anybody know what the word therefore means? It's a word we know what it means, but sometimes we may not be able to put it into words. Any ideas? What does therefore mean? Because of? What else? Since? Because of? It means consequently. It means because of. It means for that reason. And he says here in verse number 13, therefore, because of the strong drink that is spoken of in verses 11 and 12, therefore my people are gone into captivity. And by the way, Proverbs 23 bears that out. A person given to wine, they live a life that is captive. They're in bonds. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. We know this tonight, but look, God's judgment is always right. God is always just. Verse 17, then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. And then verse number 18, we have the next woe. Verses 18 and 19, we spoke of the woe to the scorner. Woe to the scorner. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work. Remember that. We'll come back to verse 19 in just a moment. That we may see it. Where is God? Where is all of the declarations of this judgment? We hear the preachers talk about judgment, and we hear the preachers talk about repentance or else the judgment of God is coming. And these people are, when's it coming? They're scorners. Woe to the scorner. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Verse number 20, we have the next woe. We spoke of woe to them who pervert. Verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, we spoke of woe to the wise guy. This guy thinks he's smarter than God, wiser than God. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And then tonight we see the last woe. And really, it's very akin to verse number 11. He mentions it twice. Verse number 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength. So out of the six, he mentions it twice. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And then verse 24. Therefore, because of, consequently, for that reason. By the way, I believe verses 24 through the end of the chapter is a declaration of the consequences for all six of those woes. Now, some may disagree with me, but I believe he is closing this out and he's giving the consequences, he's giving the therefore because of all these six woes that he has mentioned in verses 8 through 28. So let's read there. He says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, By the way, tonight, the therefore here is very negative. Right? It's going to be. We're going to read it. It's negative. But you know the therefore doesn't have to be negative. And it's not always negative in the Bible. It can be very positive. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's a good therefore, right? So you see, therefore, we think sometimes, well, we always focus on the negative. And we do because it's in the Bible. But every therefore doesn't have to be negative. The therefore can be positive. It depends on what happens in the verses preceding. And in the verses preceding, verse 24, it's all negative. It's all sin. It's all a transgression against a holy God, by the way, who loved them dearly. They were the apple of His eye, the nation of Israel. He says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust. Notice this, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. It always comes back to God's word and what we do with it. Therefore, verse 25, is the anger of the Lord kindled against His people, and He hath stretched forth His hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, His anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. And He will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. So tonight let's look at this thought of therefore. And just want to give you two thoughts, two truths that hopefully be a help to us tonight as we close out this chapter. Number one tonight, I want us to see the double trouble. The double trouble. The double trouble. Verse number 11, verse number 22. Actually, verses 11 through 17, and then verses 22 and 23 again, we see the double trouble. And so let's ask the question tonight, why is wine and strong drink mentioned twice? Let me give you a couple of thoughts, if I could. The double trouble. First of all, because it causes men to squander their strength. It causes men to squander their strength. Look what it says there in verses 22 and 23. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. And notice this, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Well, what does it do? It causes them to squander their strength. By the way, their physical strength. But also, hold your place here. I told you we would go back there. And let's go to Proverbs 23. And let's read quickly. Proverbs chapter number 23. Because it causes men to squander their strength, whether it's physical strength, whether it's mental strength or emotional strength, whether it's financial strength, causes them to squander their strength. By the way, back in Isaiah chapter number 5, we mentioned it just a moment ago, in verse number 13, the Bible, the first time it speaks about strong drink, he says in verse number 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity. That's what wine and strong drink does. It captures us. We lose, and I say we, those who are given to it lose all inhibitions. By the way, we'll see that in just a moment. That's another reason why I believe he mentions it twice. But notice in Proverbs 23, and we'll begin in verse number 19. He says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Drop down to verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? That's several questions there, right? Well, he answers the questions. Who? Okay, who's the person that has sorrow? Who's the person that has contentions? He says in verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart... Now again, let's... Strange women, it doesn't mean they look weird. They're strange because they're not yours. She's strange because he's not hers. And the Bible says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. They're captured by it, that they have to continue to go back. And so, number one, the double trouble. Why is it mentioned twice in verse number 11 and then again in verses 22 and 23? Because it causes men to squander their strength, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual. It causes men to squander their strength. He says in verse 22 again of Isaiah 5, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Now, I also believe in verse 22, it could also be speaking to men who have power. Okay? Number two, the double trouble, because it causes men to squander their strength, but secondly, because it causes men to pervert their power. It causes men to pervert their power. Look what the Bible says in verse 23. Still speaking about the individuals who are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. Verse 23, which, speaking of those individuals, justify the wicked for reward. It causes men to pervert their power. And then notice the latter part of verse 23. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Let me give us an example tonight. And I'm not saying everybody that has ever drunk does this. But I want to give us an example tonight to help us understand this. Probably every single one of us have heard stories of men, young men, older men, men who have used alcohol to get a young lady drunk to where she loses all of her inhibitions and he perverts his power over her. And you see what it says in the latter part of verse 23? They rob someone's righteousness from them. Now, we could argue and say, well, you know, that young lady shouldn't have been in that position, or maybe vice versa. Maybe a young lady does that and uses alcohol to cause a young man to lose all of his inhibitions. Well, the young man shouldn't have been in that position. The young lady shouldn't have been in that position. But the thought here in verse number 23, and I'm not saying this is exactly what this is saying, that it's talking about a young man taking advantage of a young woman, but it is speaking about individuals using alcohol or under the influence of alcohol, taking away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Now also, look back at the first part of the verse. Look back at the first part of the verse. Which justify the wicked for reward. Okay, we can talk about bribery there. Somebody takes a reward to justify the wicked. And so we could look at those together. They're justifying the wicked, and they've taken a bribe or somewhere in the midst of a drunken meeting, whether it be a judge and a lawyer or whatever the case would be, a bribe is taken and the judge perverts justice and he justifies wicked and he takes away the righteousness from the righteous. And the one that is right is condemned, and the one that is wrong is justified because of a reward. But the idea in all of that is that alcohol plays a part in that. Is that strong drink and wine and mingled wine in verse number 22. And so he mentions it twice, double trouble. And I know there's lots of argument today, and it's not, that's not our argument tonight. There's a lot of argument today about whether it's okay to drink or not to drink. But I'm going to tell you what, there are so many passages in the Scriptures that are negative about alcohol. Why would we want to argue for it? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I can argue against it, and I've told you all this before, I can argue against it with an anecdotal illustration. My whole family was almost killed by a drunk driver when I was about 7 years old. Okay, so I can argue with an anecdotal illustration, but I have something better to argue against it with, and that's God's Word. God's Word is much better than an illustration. And I can say, well, man, I almost lost my family, and my mom spent weeks in the hospital, and my mom picked glass out of her forehead for a year after that. Okay, I can argue with that illustration, but I don't have to, because we have the Word of God. And the Word of God says if we are deceived by drink, we are not wise. That's what the Bible tells us. Because there is no argument that alcohol causes individuals. We say, Pastor, do you know that by experience? I don't. Because I praise the Lord for a mom and dad who kept me from it. Never let me taste it. Never let me get around it. Okay, so I can't speak to this by experience, but I can speak based upon the Word of God, and I can speak by illustration and knowing what it does to people. It causes people to lose their inhibitions. And in Ephesians chapter 5, where it speaks about being filled with the Spirit, if we have even a smidgen, is that a good word? Is that a measurement, smidgen? If we have a smidgen, if we are yielded even a smidgen to anything else other than the Holy Spirit, we're not filled with the Spirit. And that's the point in Ephesians chapter 5. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And so number one, we see the double trouble. Number two, we see the divine therefore. Number one, we see the double trouble. Number two, we see the divine therefore. And again, it begins, we saw it in verse 13, but it begins in earnest in verse number 24 through the end of the chapter. Two things here. The therefore is consequential. That's what therefore means, consequence, for that reason, because of, since. The therefore is consequential. Let me make this statement. There would be no fire if there were no fuel for the fire. Let me show you what I mean by that. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff. Okay, what's the stubble and the chaff in Isaiah 5? It's all of their sin. It's the scorner, it's the wise guy, it's the greedy man, it's the drunkard, stubble and chaff. We saw this Sunday in 1 Corinthians 3 at the judgment seat of Christ. Christians are going to come before the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's going to be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. What's going to burn up? The wood, hay, and stubble. You're not going to burn up the gold, silver, and precious stone. Because wood, hay, and stubble is the fuel for the fire. And the fire is going to lick it up. The Bible says in verse 24, therefore as the fire devoureth, verse 25, therefore is the anger of the Lord what? What's the word there? Kindled. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against His people. Why? Because of their sin. Why? Because of verse 24. Look what it says. Because, the last part of verse 24, they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. the divine therefore. The therefore is consequential. There's a reason for the therefore in verse 24. And yes, it's a negative therefore. Negative therefore in verse number 25. The therefore is consequential. And so here's my admonition for us tonight, just quickly. Let's make sure the therefores are positive. And let me ask this, how will they be positive? How can the therefores be good? Good consequences. Say it again. Verse 24 again. Why was their therefore negative? Because they cast away God's word. They cast away the law of the Lord. They despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The therefore is consequential. And then secondly, the therefore was complete. It's complete. The remainder of the chapter, verses 25 through 30. And he has stretched forth his hand, verse 25, against them and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Boy, God's good, isn't he? See, we have people want to say, well, your God is such an angry God. No, he's not. He's a long-suffering God. He's long-suffering and merciful. How much stubble and chaff did he put up with before he gets to this point? How many times did he allow and does he allow his people to repent and come back to them? He's merciful. He's long-suffering. Verse 26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Verse 26 is telling us what happened to Israel. Who was the nation that took Israel captive? Judah. Who is the nation that took Israel captive? Or Ephraim, the northern kingdom. Assyria. Who took the southern kingdom? Babylon. And so he's telling us right here, you know what God's going to do? The Bible says he's going to hiss. The idea there is he's going to whistle, and they're going to come, and they're going to bring the judgment upon his people, even though they are heathen lands. And they're not even going to realize that they're being used by God. But God is going to use them to bring judgment, and then later he'll bring judgment on them. He says, look, God's going to lift up an ensign. They're not even going to realize that they're going to be the tools by which he's going to bring judgment, verse 26. And he will lift up an ensign to nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. He's going to... Any of you can whistle like this? I'm not going to ask her to do it. If Mr. Ted was here, I'd ask him to do it. When my kids were little, or not little, because when they were little, they were with us, but when they got a little bit bigger and we were in a store, all I have to do is whistle. I mean, they could be three aisles over and they would come because they knew the whistle. That's Daddy's whistle. You say, oh, you treat your kids like a dog. No, they just knew, hey, that's Daddy's. It's time to go. It's time to get off the toy aisle, and it's time to go. You know, the Bible says he's going to hiss, and the nations are going to come. Would you notice again? Look at the last part of verse 26. They shall come with what? Speed swiftly. Would you look back at verse 19? Here's the scorners that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. We don't want God to do that. That's why they were scorners. They're like, oh, that's never going to happen. God's never going to bring judgment. Let him do it. Let him hasten his work that we may see it. And God says, okay, that's exactly what's going to happen. And they're going to come speedily. They're going to come with speed swiftly, the Bible says in verse number 27, none shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. He's talking about the enemy here. None shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, they're prepared. And all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow. And the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Don't miss that last part of verse 30. The light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Judgment's coming. Remember in the book of Jeremiah, there came a point where God told Jeremiah, he said, don't even pray for them anymore. He said, don't even pray for them anymore. Now, Jeremiah kept preaching, and the idea was when Manasseh sinned, it really sealed their judgment. And God said, don't even pray for them anymore. The therefore is complete. And what I mean by that, it's whole. When God does something, God doesn't do it halfway. God does it completely. Because He's just. And He's righteous. And if He's just and righteous, He has to judge sin. And that's why we looked at these woes. Not so we could be negative, but simply to see that we need to be salt and light. We need to be salt and light in our communities. We need to be salt and light in our families. We need to be salt and light in our church family. We need to be salt and light in our nation, in our state. Why? Because God is a God of justice. And we need to be men and women who are not pragmatic, but who are true with God's word. I just saw this week a county commission in Fairfax County, Virginia, voted 9-0 to make this Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, to make this Sunday Transgender Visible Day. That's wicked. We have to be salt and light. We don't want woes to come upon our communities, do we? We don't want woes to come upon our families and our church families and our communities and our state. So we have to be salt and light. We cannot cast away the law of the Lord. And we cannot despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Whoa. The therefore is consequential. The therefore is complete. Father, thank you for your word. Help us. Father, help us to be a people who are salt and light. Help us to be a people who love your word. Help us to be a people who understand that the same grace that brought salvation is the same grace that teaches us to live godly, to live holy, to deny ungodliness, to deny worldliness. It's the same grace that saves, teaches us, the same grace that saves empowers us to live a life that is different. It empowers us to live like Jesus Christ. It helps us to be salt and light. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a people who do so. Father, help us not to be a people who are scared of what culture says. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to be a people who aren't even scared of what other maybe church family members say, when maybe they hold to a more pragmatist position. And we say, no, we need to stay true to God's word, because he's able to give us much more than this. So Lord, help us tonight. Father, we sure love you. We're sure grateful for your word and for your reproof and your rebuke and your exhortation and your admonition. And Father, may we heed it every time we open your precious word. May we heed what we read. Father, go with us tonight. Give us safety, and we'll surely thank you for it. We do pray that you would help Sunday. Father, we pray that you'd help folks to be saved. And Father, I pray that we'd be able to see Jacob saved before Sunday. I pray that we might be able to see other men and women saved even before Sunday. Those that we've been ministering to, and those we've been praying for, and those we've been just laying and sowing the seed and watering. Lord, may we see them come to salvation very soon. Help us, Lord, tonight. We'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.